This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
Alrighty, welcome to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulsher hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet. Hi, Mary Goulet. Yeah, hi. Get your headphones on. You're good to go. Yeah, we're T.O.J. What's up, baby?
What's up?
Alrighty, Wade's holding it down in the studio, and we got a very special guest hanging out with us, Mr. Dennis Langlais himself. What's up, senor?
How you doing?
I am really good. You?
You thought I was going to be late, huh?
You know what? There was never a doubt in my mind. I mean, if by hook or by crook you had to get on the BMX or you had to do whatever you had to do to get here, I know you would have gotten here.
That's time efficiency at its finest
right
there.
That is time efficiency. You are an efficient man
with
your time.
Production.
Production, exactly. All right, guys, so... Oh, man, super excited about today's show, and we got a lot of ground to cover here with Dennis Langlais, and we'll let you talk about, you know, your background and whatnot. Very, very interesting story. Certainly a true reinventor by every sense of the word, but just wanted to give out some love to the folks who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast. If you're just finding Reinvention Radio for the first time, thanks for tuning in. We love you. We appreciate you. And don't forget, if you have any questions at all or comments about any of the past shows and you want to see someone in particular on the show, you can leave all of that for us on the toll-free number, which is 1-844-MR-BOLD-1. And 844-MR-BOLD-1. So you can leave a message there, and we'll be sure to get to those. And we'll actually start playing some of those on the air here also as more and more of the comments and questions and feedback comes
we
in.
We should.
We definitely should.
Do you ever listen to KFI on Friday afternoons? They call it the moist line.
Ooh, hello. No.
No, Steve's downloading it as you said it.
Right? What is the
just
moist
the
line?
Name,
like, I have to
right?
know such things.
So they people who call in and leave a message for John and Ken, and you get some people that are yelling at them.
Oh, sweet.
You're such an idiot that you, Ken, you shouldn't even be on, you know, they just like slam them.
Yeah.
And they... Well,
his mind went into the late night radio.
He totally
went a whole nother way.
I know it, and that's like
so you messed
anyway.
With him.
Yeah, we should do a compilation of.
I like that idea. So we did a special show for our 100th episode, and now we're on like our 500th. I think we missed
we really?
A few. It was something. We missed a few special shows somewhere in between there.
Wow.
It's like marriage, you know. You get married and you have a nice little celebration. Like the wife and I had a celebration on our. On our 10th anniversary, that's like a milestone, right? And so here we are. We're going to be celebrating 20 years this year. We're going to go away. But we're not doing like a party kind of thing. I think, was it like at that point you do like 25 and you do 50. And maybe those are like the
other
parties.
Yeah, there's commitment
parties.
Years.
Those are the commitment
and
years.
Speaking of commitment years,
yes.
We're going to commit to our guest.
We are?
Because he committed to a ton of years doing some pretty cool stuff.
What are you, segueing?
Yeah, I'm segueing quick because I want to talk to this guy. I've been a huge fan of him my whole life. I just didn't want to say before we went
All
live.
Right, fine. I'll let you.
But I was like the...
Yes.
So I'm going to just take this day.
I hope
thing,
you do.
Because I love this guy.
Please
like,
do.
And,
I'll sit back.
And I'm not going to look him in the eye because I don't want to think this is a weird love, goofy love,
it's a
or moist truck. Line
it's
love.
A moist line.
This isn't a moist line love. This is like... I was a BMXer, but... I was more racing,
yeah.
But I just was like, aw, these guys. I was redline and like to race. But it's kind of like my Spanish. It mostly got me in trouble, crashed a lot and this and that. But it was still, it was
oh my
fun,
gosh.
Right?
Kind of like your love life
and,
for the most part.
But it was,
so you found Trish.
But it was fun. But this guy, like, you know what I'm going with the whole paid to play thing and all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
He's
going to
be on my show. He doesn't even know it yet.
Oh.
He's the epitome of paid to play. Paid to play.
Wait, you're not paying.
He
to be
got
on the show,
paid to play for years and years.
I did not get that payment.
He,
if you paid
got
to be
paid
on the show,
to
I did not get that
for
payment.
Years and years and years and years.
He got paid
and let him
to
tell
play.
Us about it. Yes, he did.
He got paid. Yes, okay.
Not advertising.
You know, well, we're
let's
on radio. I'm thinking like payola here. That's when you say pay to play. That's
no,
what
that,
I think about.
Yeah,
so.
I know, but it's really paid to earn is what they're talking about. But anyway, I'm trying to segue over to him. And this dude and this cool stuff he did was ridiculous.
Yeah, man. So for sure. And so, yeah, Dennis, why don't you give us a little bit of an understanding of kind of where you came from, what Rich is alluding to here in terms of, well, your background. Let you tell, you know, tell your story real quick here.
All right. Yeah. So I was a extreme sports athlete for most of my life. And what I think he's alluding to is pay to play is pain on my body. And
yeah, but that's part of it is the price you had to pay to be able to get paid to play is the whole deal.
I've been doing a lot of posts on Facebook, actually, on the same concept. Like you trade like something out of your life, like either train a you know,
bad fingers for being a coder, or your eyes for being, you know, whatever, and then you're paying for being a freestyle bike rider. Like, I have to wake up every morning, like, kind of.
These Snapchatters are going to be trading carpal thumbs.
Yes, and that's already happening, right? So, yeah, I was an extreme sports athlete for many years of my life, and it was so exciting. You know, now I look back and I go, man, I was, like, famous, and I didn't really realize how famous I was, because all I want to do is ride my bike and do the tricks. And
yeah.
And then it was just the next move. Like, I want to do a flip. I want to do a spin. I want to do this. On a bike, I'm just trying to be general, because probably people don't know what it is. But
so just so I'm clear, so let's go back for a second here. So yeah. Like, as a career, when you did you go to college? Was college
no man? He was what we all dreamed we could have been doing.
Yeah.
Did you graduate high school?
I was literally in high school, 7th and 8th grade, 9th grade. Probably it's my first trip on a plane by myself. 14, 15, 16 years old. And my first trip, one of my first trips was California, actually, from Boston. I'm from Boston. And from there on, I became a professional, long story short. Became a professional and started traveling the world for different sponsors like GT Bicycles.
Which, by the way, is the difference between amateur and pro.
You get paid. Yeah. Nice.
And one in particular was like, I went to Venezuela, you know. Listen to Oingo Boingo. I don't know if you guys remember Oingo Boingo.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sony Walkman's. Yeah. We'll introduce you.
Yeah. Sony Walkman's, and I'll never forget getting off a plane by myself. I mean, who does this now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 15 years old at the
time. What did your mom say?
They didn't even know. I mean, they knew, but they didn't know. Like, you know, there's five kids in the family.
This is what went on in these days.
Yeah.
It was like, what was the term? Latchkey kid.
Yeah. There you go. But there's a difference between being a latchkey kid and going to Columbia.
Right. Or, yeah, I know.
Yeah, right.
Literally. Sorry for interrupting. I'm just kind of like, that was what was going on. It's
have
not
you
like
seen
you,
Dennis? No, I don't know where he went.
It's not
said
like
about
you.
Columbia, see,
To put it in context, Mary has a, what ages are the daughters again?
17 and 15.
They're not going to Columbia, or they're not doing this stuff right now. So anyway.
Can you imagine that now? Yeah.
Do you know Danny Way?
Yes. I went to Europe with him.
His story is similar. He was often added, like,
young.
14.
Yeah, he was about 14 when I saw him, actually. Yeah.
Have you, sorry for interrupting, I was just looking at Mary when I said, did you ever see Dogtown Z-Boys?
No.
Okay, it's a skateboard movie. But this was like the bike version going on.
Right, that's
here.
What I'm gathering.
Yeah. Dude,
so two things are going on here. Whatever Rich ate this morning is like what we have to feed him every morning before the show.
He
has a coffee cup.
It's this coffee, and I didn't realize it's the larger one, and they did another. And Mary was joking, saying it's a Snickers ad, so maybe they can sponsor us.
Oh, man,
we'll see
that's
how
funny.
Much
so, like, in 3 years, Dennis, just so you know, in 3 years of Richie being here pretty much, you know, every Thursday with us, this is the most that
he's ever talked.
Okay, so Kelly's saying
throughout any of the interviews,
we're way off track.
No, we're not. We're going to hear this
totally
dude that I'm freaking.
Kelly.
This is what you podcast for, to get to know the freaking people you looked up to and were dreamed of being.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy reinvented his life like Kelly.
Yeah,
sorry,
Kelly.
I love you more than anything, but this ain't off track. This is my heart coming through.
We are
this
here right with you. Yeah.
Let me get back on, though.
The reason I'm here is because of the same principle happened with another podcaster, Michael O'Neill, who introduced me to Steve.
Yeah.
And I was on his show, and he didn't know who I was at the time. And all of a sudden, a friend of his pointed out, hey, this guy was, you know, this ex-professional BMX. Now I talk to Michael every single day. Like, every day, like, this guy that would never even let me on his show ever and wouldn't respond to my emails is now, like I'm surprised I won't get a text while I'm in here, you know? So, but, there's a big connection in that industry. It's really, we can go into that.
So,
and they were more freestyle, though.
And I just want to back up. So teenage years, so you were in high school. You literally were able to travel the world as a BMXer. How did you, quote, unquote, get found at that age? Because, like, today you can go on YouTube and you can find people. But, like, how did you get found in that? Do you remember that moment?
God, yeah, that's so far back there, right?
Was there like an agent? Did someone represent you? Did someone get you gigs? Were you sending videos to people? Like, what were you doing?
So we went out to, obviously we kind of reached out through phone calls to the sponsors, mainly bicycles companies and PepsiCo and stuff like that. And we landed this pretty large sponsorship with PepsiCo called the Mountain Dew GT Trick Team. It was like this, probably one of the most professional freestyle teams to this day, even now. And we literally got hooked up. I mean, rigged.
Who's we?
Everything.
There was a team.
So when you go and you do shows, you're like doing tricks together in a music format, kind of like a podcast, but you're performing. Oops. And so we reached out to them, and then we came out to California for that first time, and did a competition up in Venice Beach, California.
Wow.
Nice.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so we got to know each other a little bit. But it's kind of like a rivalry. That was kind of like the West Coast versus the East Coast.
So we were just kind of like you Tupac and Biggie, and then there was that's kind of like
yeah,
yeah. All right,
like LL Cool J
for people of my generation.
For sure,
put context around
for sure.
It. Yes.
Well, and to put context again, it's kind of like how internet marketers and e-commerce don't talk together, but they should be.
Mm-hmm.
I was racing. They didn't. We should have kind of more done stuff too. I wasn't anywhere close to what he did. I wasn't getting paid. I was. Amateur.
So you were having the time of your life. You were on tour. You were doing your freestyle stuff. You were doing your BMX stuff. I mean, were you actually making real money?
Well, you know what? I wouldn't even say I was having the time of my life because I was just on a mission, like to be awesome on a bike, you know? And that's kind of like what now, like being in showbiz on the other side, like the celebrity side, I'm like, God, I left millions on the table because I had all this opportunity in front of me. I was sponsored and I have this. And even to this day, like, people are just reaching out from all over the world. YouTube now, I'm seeing more and more videos pop up of me in like Holland and, you know, all around. And I'm like, God, I don't even remember that.
Yeah, they got to download them off their Super 8s.
Yeah.
I'm joking, but.
Yeah, no, well,
they probably. So, all right, look, we're going to have to do this. We're going to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. yes, we are covering a lot of ground here with Dennis, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, of course, what you're doing now and your podcast and everything else that you're doing. Around the 5-minute mark and so on and so forth. But really interesting stuff. And Richie, I am so excited to see you so excited. This
are
is
you,
like,
are you going to sponsor me with my coffee?
We're going to sponsor you now with your coffee. All right. More with Dennis Landless here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
Attention coaches, authors, speakers, and business owners. Please pay close attention to what I'm about to say if you want to secure massive visibility fast and generate thousands of highly qualified leads without spending a dime on advertising or marketing. The easiest way to make this happen is to appear as a guest on the world's most popular podcast. We recently came across an awesome resource that provides detailed contact information for 240 new media influencers who are looking for guests just like you. It's called the Ultimate Directory, and for a limited time, you can get the preview edition of the directory absolutely free. That's right, for free. It's time for you to get the visibility you and your business deserve and connect with the world's leading icons of influence who can make you famous with the push of a button. Get your free preview edition of the Ultimate Directory right now at www.myultimatedirectory.com. That's myultimatedirectory.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher, hanging out with Mergele. Hello, Mergele.
Hello.
Richie Ote. What's up, Irish?
What's up?
And we got Dennis Langley hanging out with us in studio today, man. And you got a lot of things going on, and we don't need to take it year by year to bring, you know, folks up to date. But at some point, you had to stop riding, right? I mean, we're around the same age bracket. I mean, I'm 47. How old are you?
49.
Yeah, so we're right around the same. And so at some point, I mean, your body just says, okay, this is all well and good, and it's good quality fun, but I can't do this on
it's
an everyday basis.
It's different to
reinvent
bones.
It's right? Good luck with that.
Yeah.
So at what point did you know that you couldn't professionally compete or entertain anymore, and then you switched over into doing a lot of speaking and so on. But take us through what was that moment where you were like, I guess I can't do this anymore? Do you remember that moment
when the money dropped out?
Is that what happened?
Yeah, because you're being sponsored all these companies and you're traveling around and competing and so on and so forth. So the sponsors dropped out, and I decided to go to college for a good whole semester. And then a lot of the opportunity I got, I would throw to the wayside because I was quote unquote famous. And I didn't take these small little gigs, so I started,
you don't realize it,
reinventing myself into the real world, and like, okay, this is what people get paid. So I went to college for a little bit, and then I kind of took back an opportunity that I gave out because actually they needed somebody. So I took on this tour of doing shows at schools, and literally they were doing a horrible job because I'm coming from the professional level. This was at like amateur level, and I reinvented that. Literally.
So when you say shows, you would take your bike, you would do some tricks, you would show them some stuff, and then you'd talk in sort of a motivational, inspirational kind of way to the kids. Okay.
Yeah, so it's like a 40-minute show to go to schools, and it became really popular. So we're doing, you know, 100 of these a year, 200.
Is that a lucrative gig? I mean,
extremely.
Really? What do you get paid on a school gig like that?
Like $1,200 a show.
Do you really?
Yeah, sometimes $1,500, yeah.
Wow.
So you're doing 3 or 4 a day and
really?
Five or six teams
around. So you do 100 of those, you're 120, 150K,
no,
right?
Steve's buying a bike on Amazon right now.
Right, I know.
we were up to doing 800 to 1,200 a year of these things. So.
Now, when you say we, you would bring out
The demand was so much that I would have several teams in different areas of the country.
See, that's how you scale a business like that, right? So now you have other ex-pro BMXers doing their thing and you give them the outline for the talk and then you take a cut off of what they get. Is that how you structured it? So you just took a cut off of what they got paid?
Well, what I did is I actually spent a ton of money creating this software that would allow us to now navigate the whole country and operate all, because you're dealing with invoicing and contractors and different things. So I now literally made this amazing software that would handle this many shows. Otherwise, the paperwork and the logistics of all of that was a nightmare to do.
Did you code it or did you pay someone?
I engineered it, had it coded.
Look at you.
Wow, are you versatile?
I am having a feeling this is Cody Dog.
Yeah, I started a web agency thereafter. But I've created software for the loan modification industry, saved 1,000 homes. We could go on forever on
Not just a pretty face.
Yeah, no, not just a podcaster.
Yeah. All right, so at what point did you decide though because you're still doing that, or you're no longer doing the school gigs, or you no longer have that agency that represents other bikers?
Yeah, I sold that in 2013.
You sold it, okay?
Yes. And basically, I had a partner, and we didn't agree on different things, so there was a sale. And from there, I just said, okay, I'm going to start a web agency because I was really getting into software and creating these platforms. I created this platform called App Processor, which was essentially a business management software tool that we created that was absolutely amazing. And it was designed with a front face looking like Facebook.
Mm.
So you were like running your business on a Facebook platform. We were really ahead of our time. It was amazing.
What year is this?
This was in 2013, 12, 13, 14,
okay.
15.
Okay.
We took 3.5 years developing it and we never even launched it.
Mm. So almost like a merge of a CRM and social kind of? You're creating
a platform
business in real time.
So you're all your stuff would just come on your timeline. So your calendar and Facebook's doing that now. They're integrating calendars and events and stuff in there now. They're doing it.
I got to understand something though. So did all of this come like naturally to you, and you had just kind of buried this during your BMX years? Like, do you think in your heart of hearts, being an entrepreneur and developing things, like getting a vision and seeing people's pain, like I guess really just seeing your own pain points first,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And then creating something to solve your own problem. Which do you think, do you think if you had to choose between being the entrepreneur or being the athlete, which do you think you would lean more towards as you look back now?
Well, the athlete's way funner.
Yeah.
What he was trying to lean towards, and correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, because it's your question, but we have this ongoing nature-nurture question all the time.
We do.
And he's kind of, are you trying to figure out, because I'm not putting words in your mouth, are you trying to figure out, do you think he was supposed to be an entrepreneur and the bike just led to it, and then he saw that, or...
Well, let's let Dennis answer that. So
I kind of think it's both. I think it's epigenetics. You learn things about your DNA more, and it starts to evolve, but that's a whole nother.
It's amazing looking back now. I mean, like, rewinding to, like, I actually was a baseball player before bike riding.
Hmm.
And I remember, like, you know, at 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, practicing baseball. So I learned passion, ethics, and then I sought out the best baseball players in the county, and I would go and I would knock on their door at 7, 8 years old and wait for them to wake up 1 hour, 2 hours for them and go to the baseball field with them and practice.
Okay, again,
see, that's,
what did your
that's
mom
DNA
say?
Stuff. Yeah, exactly. That's DNA stuff, right?
Yeah, that's totally. DNA.
Yeah, you can't teach
I look
that.
Back and I go, wow, that was crazy.
That's passion.
Yeah.
Real.
Yeah.
Right there.
It was crazy. So the ethic from that then got carried into bike riding, and that was a piece of cake to get to the top from there because it went really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously now taking that into business, that's a different animal because you're now thinking and creating, and you know, you got all these different people involved. So there's definitely different analog, but you know.
Yeah.
So did you sell that platform that you made?
No, I still have rights to it.
Okay.
So
thank God, actually. But there's some other things in the works with that as well.
Yeah.
But it was a $500,000 venture, and The engineering of it is absolutely incredible. I mean, this is, we're talking 2000. I had developed this in 2000. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dell was just coming out with their websites back then.
Yeah, and then you got into...
Oh, yeah, the year we graduated, because I'm the same age, Microsoft went public.
Yeah, and you bought how many shares at that point? Yeah.
I was just graduating. I didn't buy shit.
I know, darn. All right, so
sorry, that was your podcast.
So let me just make sure I understand this. So at some point, you created a web development agency because you saw what was going on in the whole online world, and you thought there was a good opportunity there. Was that, again, something that you learned how to do because of your own need for it, and then you realized, Jesus, I have a talent for this, and I can sell that service to others? Or how did that come about?
Well, because I was an industry standard, I literally created an industry standard in what I was doing before. And I had, like, Michael Jordan, like, hey, let's go make a basketball team. He knows everybody. So yeah. I actually had to be barred from the industry for 3 years. So I created a non-compete. Well, they created a non-compete when they sold it. So I couldn't do anything with, I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't deal with people in that industry for 3 years. So I had to go, like, flip my life upside down and change it. So I went into software, and I went into creating websites, and I realized it's just not for me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of logistics, and, you know, people buying our website for $500 or $500,000.
Yeah. They're like, they want to make it look, you know, I want it to be like Amazon, but I want it to look like this.
And I want to pay
and I want to spend $1,200, please. Yeah.
You know, some of the
on
stuff
Fiverr.
Some of the stuff we're dealing with is six figures, so...
Yeah, so what's got you super excited now? I mean, obviously you've gone through a number of iterations in your life. You've reinvented your life numerous occasions. So what, at this juncture, what's got you most excited? So I know you've got your show. Talk a little bit about your show, and then what else do you have going on that's got you most excited right now?
So now I'm doing podcasting, as you know, the 5 Minute Bark podcast. And the reason I really came around to doing this is I had so many years of inspirational speaking. I got paid over $2 million to speak in front of people consistently, whether it's a corporate event or a school or so on and so forth. So I was like, I already got that part down. I already can influence people and creative. And I had to just kind of dig that up and reinvent it again and create it into the podcast. But the difference with podcast and in real life is you're not talking to anybody.
Right.
Like, we're just kind of talking. And this helps talking with you guys, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As far as
I don't know who's out there.
Right, as far as who's listening and the interaction.
So you had to kind of recreate yourself in that. But, I mean, you get me in front of a crowd of 1,000 people, I electrify. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like, this is
but,
black nature.
But that's what's interesting about podcasting is you still have that crowd of 1,000 people. You just, it's the difference between like television and theater. You just don't get that instantaneous reaction. You don't see it until a comment on
iTunes
or whatever. It's just not a connection.
There's nothing,
the same. Yeah.
There's nothing like bringing a crowd to the feet. There's nothing like bringing a crowd to a complete silence. If you can bring a crowd to a complete silence and you're just telling them, like, some of the things I used to say to the kids is like, you know, you go to high school, it's all restless and stuff. I said, you know what? My job is to come here and talk to you, but if I can get one of you, if I can save one life in this entire building, then I've done my job. And the place is just like in silence.
Yeah.
And they're just looking at each other like, I want to be that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got a cool saying for that. What is it again?
Shut up.
No,
something else.
The real one.
What?
One thing to one. Like, I know it.
You'll
you don't
come
even
to
know
it.
Your own saying.
Oh,
no, the saying.
I have so many ulcers.
One
not
person,
even funny.
You mean the world thingy?
To one person. You know, that's right. Yeah, I'll
there is
it out.
One
yeah,
person that can change the world, and that person is you.
The voice of God.
That was Wade.
So we got people listening out
right.
there.
Right. All right. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to take another break here in just a few. But let me ask you this. So, if people want more information about you and what you're up to in this particular moment, where's the best place for them to go? What should they be doing, and where should they start?
Yeah. The5minutebark.com, F-I-V-E, minutebark.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's an interview show, so you have you bring on lots of different guests. I know you had Russell Brunson on and Steve Ulscher, and you've had a lot of other people on that show. But what's the main reason why people would tune into that show? What do they get out of it?
You know, my job is to get my guests to literally share the breakthroughs they've been through. Because obviously I've been through a series of breakthroughs. You've been through a series of breakthroughs. It's like, I want to get into that breakthrough and really kind of find out, like, what was that second? What was that moment that kind of broke things through? Because I'll be honest, I've taken all the classes and so on and so forth, but it's the moments that change people's lives.
Yeah, awesome. All right, we're talking to Dennis Landless here of the 5 Minute Bark Podcast and so on. And man, just really great to have you here in studio with us. More with Mary Gallet, Rich Gautier. I'm Steve Ulscher on Reimagine Radio. More right after this. Thanks.
You You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio.
I like keeping this new, you guys like in this, line is
I like
a lot
this
of
new
work.
Richie O'Day. I like this guy. I knew
this ain't new. This ain't new. This is always there. That's what you were about to say, right? Did I read your mind? You knew it was always there. Totally. You just wish you could see it.
That's so beautiful.
The live button.
That's so awesome.
Okay,
I love
go
you, man.
Sorry.
Oh, what's up, Mary Golden?
I am just sitting here like, how do I keep these three cats?
These three handsome, beautiful men.
Yes.
This is like you are in your
just
element.
She just did two expressos to try to catch up.
Yes, good luck
Seriously.
With that. All right, so...
I'm just trying to find out why you guys have... Your voice sounds so much better than mine.
No, you sound great. It's your headphones. It's headphone good. Thing. All right, so before the break, and I just want to clarify, because Richie, you, and appropriately so, you want to make sure that I cover... You know, let's talk about what that exact saying is so that
was two reasons.
Yes, I'm
and
listening.
I'll bring it
yes.
all together for the bow.
Yes.
First, Dennis said, and I wasn't trying to interrupt, it was just to prove a point, to accentuate his point, to put an exclamation point on his point that he just wanted to touch one person out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That, one yeah. person. There's a lot of vanity number bull S
yeah.
going on out there that 100 million is better than 100.
Right. Yeah,
and you can do all kinds of stuff with 100 people that love you.
Yeah,
and for you just being you,
right?
And yep. so to prove that point, I love your saying. I was just bastardizing it and didn't say it right.
Yeah,
so I was trying, and so I'm asking you to say it,
I
and
will.
Then bring it back to what he was saying, and then he can talk about how you don't need a ton
perfect.
Of people.
Perfect. I love that. No, that's awesome.
I'm exhausted.
I know.
But at least you know what's going
yes,
on,
so,
if you're exhausted or not.
So I cannot lay claim to this quote. I am sure that I stole it from somewhere, but that would be the story of my life, is pretty much just taking things and then claiming them. But how about this? So to the world, you may only be one person. But to one person, you may be the world.
See?
It's not happening in your life.
No, it's not. Not at all. So,
sponsored by liquor.com.
Right, it's liquor.com. So Dennis, let me ask you this, man. So as you look back then on, that's a lot of gigs that you did at these schools, man. Is there one gig in particular that stands out, or one interaction with a student that stands out, or someone who came up to you at that moment or even at a later date and just talked about the impact that you had on their lives?
I have to say, no, I don't remember one.
Yeah.
There's been so many. And I was kind of removed from it from like 2005 on. So as the company grew, I was no longer actually doing the shows. I was maintaining it and playing a lot of golf, to be honest with you.
Nice. And what's your handicap now?
Right now it's a 4 or 5.
Good God.
But I used to be like in the ones.
Really?
So,
that's impressive.
I shoot the weather. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's Arizona in summer.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh man. All right. So let's go in this direction then, okay. Because I just really want to make sure that people understand that there's hope, and that at the end of the tunnel there, that light represents opportunity, right?
Yes.
And so when you were in that position where you were just like, what exactly do I do here? How did you figure out what the next step would be for you? Because you have people who literally define themselves based on what they do, right? I mean, like, I am X, and this is who I am. And when X goes away, they often lose touch with what it is that they're supposed to be doing. So how did you figure that out? I mean, going from being a professional BMXer to anything other than being a professional BMXer is going to be a huge jump, it's going to be completely different. So how did you do it? Like, and what do you suggest others do if they're in that same boat?
You know, I was just writing about this actually today, and when you're transitioning into something, whether it's a new business or something, oftentimes we find ourselves pushing the issue, trying to make it happen. And as soon as I laid back and kind of just let what was going to go somewhere happened. So like going into the school industry and doing bike shows was not my plan.
Yeah.
But I had retired from freestyle competitiveness and went to school and actually got sick. I got like sick for like 5 weeks. So I was going broke because I was living with seven guys, a whole nother story. And all of a sudden, you know, in town comes this team that I put on the road, and it's like opportunity. I didn't expect it. I just kind of, okay, let's go with this. And then I went on it, and I'm like, I can fix this. I can make this work. I can make this happen. It aligns with me at that time. I was obviously a professional freestyle. I could take this to a new level. So that kind of happened. And then I went to the you know, that business. That went really well and made a ton of money. Then I went into the web industry, and that didn't work really well for me. It didn't really mesh with me. It wasn't my style. I wanted to do this, and but it's a very complicated industry. I just so I kind of moved out. So I was like, oh, now I'm a – you know, broke because I spent a ton of money on that business, took all the money I spent there. I was living this lavish life. I live in La Jolla, driving the Mercedes, AMG, and the whole, you know, the whole racket. You don't realize how much money you spend until you don't
have
it.
Easy come, easy go.
Right.
Yeah. And so now I was like, what do I do? So I, again, I fell back. My friends would say, Dennis, just go with what your passion is. And I finally just kind of let go of trying everything, you know, and then podcasting came along.
But there's a certain degree of as you – and you use this term quite frequently, you know, of being relentless.
Yes.
Right? And so to be to go from an amateur of anything to hitting that pro level, I mean, you have to be relentless in your practice and in your pursuit of perfection of that particular craft. Is that – if you had to kind of summarize your personality in a word
– Absolutely.
Is that so is relentless your word, and how do people become relentless in your mind? What do they have to do?
It isn't a word I came up with. It's actually a word my friends came up with me. We were actually having a few drinks one night. And he goes, dude, you're so relentless. You will not stop. You will not stop. And I'm like – he's like, dude, you're just a relentless warrior. And I'm like –
Warrior or warrior?
Warrior.
Okay. Like,
and then nice. I'm like – that sounds right because, you know, you're trying to find these words to use, to, you know, tribe-based, your brand, everything. Because right now, 5-Minute Bark it works for what I was with the website company because it was called Cody Dog Interactive, my dog, and then 5-Minute Bark was kind of a shoot-off of that. But now I'm going in this direction over here and
– Relentless Radio.
There you go. But I haven't renamed the podcast, but eventually that probably will happen or segment on. But right now I'm offering this class based on my relentless, my peak performance that I've utilized from being a professional athlete. I mean, so many people out there in my industry do not have this background that I have. And I literally, like I said, have been erasing that background, not talking about it, not dealing with it because I had a 3-year non-compete, which was up a year ago. So now I'm reinventing again and this is happening and this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
So now I hop on my bike the other day for the first time in 10 years and somehow ended up actually on a show. Like now all these triggers are all coming back. All this athletic triggers and all these things are happening.
Yeah.
And like that.
Where it becomes that, what is the phrase? The fourth part where you're the unconscious competence or whatever. Yeah. That you're definitely in that zone.
Yeah.
Like. Oh, watch some of the videos and you wouldn't have had to ask if he was relentless. You see how many times the freaking hitting shins and spinning the – oh, my craziness.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that's muscle memory, right? I mean, you've been doing it for so long. It kind of comes back. I mean, the body ages and certain things are going to be more difficult. But at the same token, you talk about epigenetics. I mean, you can literally – now you know that if you lean a little bit this way, you're going to smash your shin. And that's just, you know, again, getting kind of in that muscle memory. But – as we grow older, I think we have to get into more of our memory, if you will, around just living smarter, right? And living in a way that serves us best. And, you know, if we lean this way a little bit, we smash our proverbial shins. And so I think you probably picked up a lot of life lessons then along the way in that same vein.
I mean, that day was just really like I had to activate peak performance because I'm not practicing the tricks. I don't know how to do them anymore. But I'm in front of, you know, I don't know, 200 or 300 people. And all of a sudden, like, Dennis, like, they just kind of got me out there. I just went there to hang out, and I had my bike. And I'm like, all right, I'll go out there, and I'll try something. And I just didn't even know where to begin. But all of a sudden, I was like, it just snapped. That peak performance that I had when I used for competing and use for those shows to get through them no matter what, just mm-hmm. that just changes everything. Because then you start acting in a way that's going to get it done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing, too, is I can see in the way you talk about it now and the comment you made in the first episode, like, or first segment, I should say, where you know what you left on the table.
Yes.
Right? You know what you left on the table, and that will never happen again. The celebrity that was sitting there, it's kind of like what Gary Vee's doing, getting into the sports agency and stuff like that now, because what he could do with those people when they have the leverage at NFL or basketball or whatever, you will never do that again, huh?
No, it's a massive mistake. It's cost me millions, literally millions of dollars, because, I mean, to this day, I can be traveling around the world just showing up in my face.
But it's not over. You're reinventing, but you'll never. So right. It's cool. That relentless.
But I understand that now with the podcast and how this all works. I mean, it's just amazing that, you know, I explain this a lot. There's Chiefs and there's Indians, and you're a follower or you're not a follower, right? So I followed Tiger Woods. I will buy his sneakers. I'll watch his golf swing for 3 hours. I'll sit there and do everything. But in podcasting, we have people that look up to us. So they're going to follow what we're doing, how we talk, how we speak, how we do our thing, right? Mm-hmm. And they're admiring it. They're going to go, copy your show. They're going to go buy the microphone you have.
Sure.
So,
sure. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. No, totally, totally get in. Of course, we'd love to chat all day long. And before we wrap here, you're actually going to be joining us at the New Media Summit. So people have an opportunity to meet you and meet the Reinvention cool. Radio crew. And
will they be ready for me?
Eight others, like us, who you'll be able to talk to about who you are and what you do and hopefully leave with bookings on our respective shows. So in the last 20-odd seconds here, why are you joining us at the New Media Summit? And how do people get more information about you one more time?
Yes. So, yeah, at this Media Summit, I'll be there to help answer any kind of questions or, find out what these guests are looking for and allow them to come on my show if they obviously fit the the placement of my show.
Awesome. And to check out your show, again, where's the best place for them to go to do that?
The5MinuteBark.com. Or you can YouTube it or go to iTunes, 5MinuteBark.com.
Nice.
Nice.
All right, easy, right?
We are due for a golf game, my man.
Yeah,
and,
let's do that.
And I was going to say let's hang out this Friday, but I know now you have plans because I saw your post on that. So we'll have to figure out another day to hang out and hit the links. But really, really, really good quality fun here hanging out with you.
That's awesome.
Thanks for sharing your story and being awesome. Relentless. Mary Goulet, Richie Ote, Dennis Langlais, White Wade. I'm Steve Olsher. We'll talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.